A CBC radio interview with a photographer.
You know, I met a lot of people over the course of sitting in this host chair on Basic Black, but recently I met a man I know I'm never going to forget. His name is Paul Mallon, and he sits in another kind of chair. Paul is a medical doctor at a clinic in what urban planners refer to as Vancouver's Lower East Side. It's the toughest and poorest neighborhood in the city. Paul is also a photographer. He specializes in dramatic, often majestic images of mountaintops. The other thing you need to know about Paul is that he cannot use his legs. His chair is a wheelchair. Not long ago, I visited Paul at the clinic where he works. Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Now, I've been looking through some of your photographs, and they're beautiful images, but they look like they're fairly remote. I mean, they're top of mountains, and how do you even get to these locations?
Usually by helicopter, sometimes by ski plane.
Well, what's the reaction when you show up at the helicopter outfitters in a wheelchair and tell them that you want to be taken to the top of a mountain, please?
Well, after the first time, it's been no problem, because then you just said, well, I flew to so-and-so place with these pilots, so they just, it's not a, how do I put it, you've got a resume.
Yeah.
Oh, you flew with so-and-so, and you've been in the Waddington Range or up at Mount Logan. Oh, you must be okay then.
But it wasn't that easy the first couple of times.
You've heard that story.
Yeah, but tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I had to phone up a place up in Lillooet, just up in the interior a little bit, and ask them if I could go. And the pilot was fine, but they talked in the office, and the office was, they came back, and they were very shy to ask me this, but they said, we're sorry to ask you, but are you suicidal? Are you planning to kill yourself in some weird spiritual way? No, you guys had to be paid, and I know you could take my truck, you know, if you don't take me back, but I do want to live through this.
So they finally believed you.
Yeah, and after that, it's been fine.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the helicopter drops you off on the top of the mountain. Then what? How do you get around?
Plastic toboggan, a torpedo brand toboggan made in eastern Quebec. It's just a kid's toboggan.
Well, that's good for downhill, but how do you get around?
Ice axe to pull myself around.
And you can get around okay then?
Well, not on everything. I've tried ice climbing once when I was up there, but no, the rest of the time it's pretty careful.
You're up there for a while, which means you got a lot of camping gear, and you're taking photographs, which means you got a lot of photographic gear. How do you haul that stuff?
If it's a lot of stuff, I'll put it in the second toboggan and push around all that stuff.
Wow.
Sometimes I just put it in this toboggan I'm in. But and if the conditions are really good, I can go long distances with that stuff. Like up in Kluane in the Yukon, I did that. I went about a mile with, I don't know what it'd be, 30, 40 kilos of camera gear.
Wow.
I'm not usually on the pinpoint of a mountain.
Yeah.
Maybe the high point of a ridge, but I usually don't want to be at the very, very top of anything really tall, because you get thunderstorms in the mountains and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
That must be fairly spectacular.
Yeah, and luckily I was never at the very tip of anything during thunderstorms. I've been up high, but usually there's something a little higher, so I'd be lying there cowering in my tent. But, you know, if I was at the very height of anything, I'd make sure that everything metal was out of my tent, or I might just get out of there, just go out in my clothes and go down my toboggan as far as I can.
Yeah.
Just make sure I don't get whacked,
because
you've got the metal
hurt.
Poles.
So how dangerous is it sliding around there? You must have had some close calls, I would think.
No, maybe just the first time. I was at the top of a rounded ridge, a couple hours flight from here, and up around 8,000 feet, and I'd been there for a long time, super careful. And the thing about flying into, you could fly around the whole edge and see what's around the edges of everything, make sure there's no cornices where snow overhangs and it can break off.
Right.
Yeah. And I knew there was no cornice in this one spot, but I was curious to see. I didn't remember exactly how far it went down, so I was crawling forward in my toboggan and going farther and farther forward. It was in the morning. The snow was hard. And then when I could see over the edge, and it was very steep, I realized, okay, this is several thousand feet drop here. And I'm holding on by my thumb tips, which are in the snow. I will now back up, and I will never do this again, which I've never
done
again. I've been very careful, yeah.
Man.
Since then, the biggest risk has been either at work or driving places.
Now, didn't you have some trouble one time with a box of Ritz crackers? What was the story?
Yes, Mount Niute, the highest peak in the Niute Range, which is in the Coast Range here. I had been in a bunch of different areas for 27 days, being moved around by helicopter, and I was ready to come out. And at the last minute, I decided, oh, I want to go see this Mount Niute. And I'd been in daily radio contact with the base, because they wanted to know how I was. And so I told them, you know, I'm beginning to crave junk food. It's terrible. So they dropped me off. And when they took off, it was fine. I'm at this ridiculous, I'll never go to any place like that, because it was really, he could barely land the helicopter, get the front of the skids on, but he couldn't put the rest on. Anyway, so I don't know if you've ever been in a helicopter, but for your listeners, when the helicopter takes off, if you're right underneath it, there's a lot of downdraft.
Yeah.
And so you have to hang on to all your stuff, so it doesn't blow away. So I did. And he took off, and he went about a kilometer. And then he turned around and came back. So I grabbed all my stuff, and I didn't hang on to it well enough. One of my big duffel bags, my tent, my sleeping bag, my park, everything went flying to the edge of a huge cliff.
Wow.
And I was waving them off frantically, and they backed off a bit, then they came forward again. I was wondering, what are they doing? And finally, they opened a little window, and they dropped a box of Ritz crackers.
Thanks a lot. I'm going to freeze to death, but I'll have a full stomach.
Yeah.
You have a highly stressful job when you're not doing this. I mean, you work in a medical clinic in one of the tougher areas of Vancouver.
Yeah.
A lot of guys would go home on a Friday night and put an ice pack on their head. You know, what makes you do this?
There's no needles up there. There's no one threatening me. I love the Alpine anyway. It's great, especially after a couple of days storm. And there's clouds below you, and there's all this fresh snow up there, and you're just up there in a sea of peaks. So that's great. But, I mean, to go someplace where you can just read as many books as you want, no one's telling you what to do.
Oh, you carry books, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got the helicopter, so I bring many books. And, it's a complete relief. I mean, you unwind completely. If you spend, you know, days and days where the only time you speak is on the radio, you know, for a few minutes every day, it's amazing. I mean, people pay money to go to monasteries. Normal people don't do that. They go to a beach in the Caribbean, which I like to do anyway, too. And so few people get up there. It's so quiet. There's no sign of people. I mean, you have a job like this. It's not for a challenge, and it's not to say, look what someone in a wheelchair can do, because it's my vacations. I never talked about it for several years. It's just when a couple of friends saw my slides, and then I showed them to other people, and then the people developing my stuff were saying, haven't you been selling them? Haven't you been showing them anywhere? This is great stuff. But, you know, the market for scenic photography is completely saturated. I mean, everybody makes pretty pictures, and they filter them, and they can play with them on the computers. I don't do any of that stuff. But so, and then to try and sell pictures like that out here where people go, oh, look, there's mountains across the water. I can just get out my Instamatic. I could do that, too.
Well, you don't focus exclusively on the West Coast. You did some work in northern Quebec as well. That's pretty rough terrain. Mm.
Well, that's when I figured, when I came out here, if I could manage that up there, I could manage life like in the mountains here.
Yeah. Whereabouts were you?
I was on East Hudson Bay in Quebec, Nukshuaq, Povinatuk, Kulavik, Ivoyavik, all these Iks and Uks.
And how did you make out there? Did you have any adventures that you can remember?
There was a bunch of adventures, but the one that got their attention up there the most was one day when I went skidooing, and I couldn't find anyone to go with, and I was on call every second week for a full week, so I'd very rarely get a day off. And if I couldn't get anyone to go with me, I was going to go. So I told the nurse who was on call where I was going to be, when I was back by, if I didn't call him, to get someone to look for me. And half an hour before sunset, when I was supposed to be back, my skidoo froze up. And I was only 5 miles from town, but it was too far to crawl.
Long 5 miles.
And I thought about it. I actually crawled 100 meters and went, this is really stupid. So I crawled back.
What were the conditions like? Yeah, cold?
It was 20 below Celsius, but no wind. And it was great. And I had a view for huge distances so that an hour and a half later when the skidooers... when the Inuit were out hunting for me, I could see their headlights on their skidoos going off to the limit of the area I was going to. And I could see them a few hours later when they came within a few hundred meters of me. If I had had a flare in my pocket, I would have been fine. So it took them close to 7 hours to find me. It was 30 below by then. And I spent a lot of time thinking about someone I'd treated up there who'd lost most of all four limbs, his ears and his nose, to frostbite.
Wow.
I had no frostbite.
How do you keep yourself warm in a situation like that? You're on the ground.
Push-ups.
Yeah?
Push-ups, sitting on the skidoo... more push-ups. I made sure I didn't fall asleep. Alternating between being terrified or on the verge of it and being bored. So.
Yeah. Well, your behavior would probably have scared off any bears. I'm not going near that guy.
Yeah, luckily or unluckily, there's too much hunting for polar bears up there. Yeah. I wasn't worried about that. I was worried if the wind picked up.
Yeah.
And by the next morning, the wind was just howling. Wow. So when we went out to get my skidoo.
Man.
So no frostbite. I was just a bit cold and tired. Yeah. And so as soon as I got back, they immediately were, so you're okay? Yeah. Without even checking me, the nurse is telling me about someone who'd had a medical problems. Like, can you see him in the morning? He's like, I haven't had anything to drink. I need a bath. Make sure I'm not hypothermic. What are you doing? But I agreed to see the guy in the morning.
Of course.
So, yes.
So what's next? Where are you going on your next wilderness trip?
I have some stuff up in the Coast Range I again want to see. If I ever get the funding together, I'd like to do some stuff up in Baffin. Ellesmere is way too far to go for in terms of flights. I mean, it's 25,000 to go from Rankin up to the north end of Ellesmere. Greenland would be neat.
Well, good luck wherever you end up. Thanks for talking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
That's Paul Mallon speaking to us here in Vancouver.